This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
He ain't lying. Those are us, and we are all back. So The Usual Suspects, one of the books, two to go, plenty more of the big shows. We continue to roll on, and we get to some things. Yesterday, we were so stacked that we didn't get to this topic, but I believe that this issue right now with Michael Bennett is going to be one that is going to be talked about for quite some time. Yeah. He, if you don't know, he was in Vegas for the Mayweather-McGregor fight. He wrote a letter to the world entitled Dear World, or addressed Dear World, in which he basically said, police officers singled me out, pointed their guns at me for doing nothing more than simply being a black man in the wrong place at the wrong time. A police officer ordered me to get on the ground. It goes into great detail. This was all yesterday. At the same time, now, Nick, you were just watching the video. Las Vegas Police Department is claiming they did nothing wrong.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the video. The part that I'm looking for in the video is the parts like, hey, I'm going to blow your effing head off, because that was the quote that Michael Bennett released in his statement, and I just didn't see it. Now, it could have been in there, and I didn't. I really want to watch the TMZ video again. He was clearly on the ground. He was getting arrested. He was getting handcuffed. But I didn't hear any of the quotes that he mentioned in the statement. Now, that, like I said, I just watched it right now, like 60 seconds ago.
So the other video I watched off the body cam is like 3 minutes and some seconds. And the first 3 minutes is just the officers fighting their way and orchestrating their way through the casino crowds.
Did you hear any foul language?
And I didn't have the audio up that high because it was just like a chain of officers kind of prepared with guns drawn, preparing for what was, as the story goes, there was reports of gunshots. So everybody was kind of chaotically freaking out. The story with Michael Bennett goes that the officer says he was first almost cowering, hiding behind some slot machines, then darted out onto Flamingo Avenue, jumped over the barricade, looked like he was trying to, he was suspicious, let's just say that. So that's when they went to try and stop him. And then, you know, again, it's depending on who you believe and until the proof actually comes out. Were there any kind of racial profiling done? Was there racial profiling done? Were there any racial statements made? Were there guns drawn? The things you were talking about too, Nick. So there's a lot to it, but there's a lot of reactions to it as well. And his brother, Martellus Bennett, the tight end of the Packers, basically came out and said when he saw the video, it was not just emotional, but he literally was drawn to tears, one in a team meeting. And then, Nick, I believe we do we have the audio of him?
No, not of him crying or anything like
okay,
that.
Okay, because I saw it this morning. He actually, in front of his locker, was talking about it and actually broke down into tears again, because at the end of the day, that's his brother. And it really bothered him to see him in that kind of predicament. So there's a lot going on. And, of course, Colin Kaepernick threw his hat into the ring with it, the whole thing, and tweeted saying, this violation that happened against my brother Michael Bennett is disgusting and unjust. I stand with Michael, and I stand with the people.
I think we all know my stance on this issue of police officers and African Americans, and I've been very upfront about it. But I think what you have to wait for is all of the details. Because from what I read, there was no gunshot, it turns out.
Right.
And there was the discussions of, you know, what was said or what wasn't said, and that basically that the police department said they would have a statement later, or they weren't able to discuss it at this time, but would have more details later. I'm looking at TMZ's latest update, and it says sources connected to the investigation tell TMZ Sports, when cops responded to the club for a possible shooting, they ordered everyone to get down and not move so they could properly search and investigate. We're told Bennett did not stay put. Instead, he ran, and a cop outside the club stopped him and ordered him down to the ground at gunpoint. Our sources say Bennett was detained until cops could determine he was not involved in any possible criminal activity and then was released. So again,
There's also reports of no complaints. There's also reports of no official complaint being filed by Bennett up until this point. So those are kind of questions that I want to know about I'm with you.
Because it's easy to just be like, oh, see, this is why Kaepernick is protesting. Yep. But at the end of the day, if the cops tell you to get down and you don't, that's a problem. You know
Huge
what I mean?
Problem, because that's it almost, I'm not saying it warrants them to shoot you, but you increase your chances of being shot when you run.
Sure.
You know
sure.
I mean?
Well, if you're fleeing the scene and the cops are telling you to get down and nobody move because they're concerned about criminal activity, it certainly does heighten the awareness of the officers and what's going on.
If you just watch that first 3 minutes of the video, when they each have when all the cops have one hand forward on the shoulder of the person, the cop in front of them, and the other hand, basically their weapons are drawn, and they're doing it almost like a situation when they're trying to, when they are going into a very unknown situation where they hear that there may be guns involved. You know how they're doing the hand signals for you look this way, I'll look that way, watching each other's backs. If all that's going on and all of a sudden some guy kind of freaks out and runs and then jumps over the barricade wall on the street and starts to get away, your instinct is to react to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I say I you know, if it's as bad as he was saying, when we find out, then yeah, shame on the police, and it's just it furthers the issue.
Well, here's the weird thing,
Barry. I want to know the truth. I don't want to make a judgment right now. So, I don't feel like there's enough information for me to come out and say, you know, I don't even know that I can give an opinion.
Now that's
because,
where I'm
because
at,
I don't know all of the facts yet.
That's where I'm at too. But then why does the NFL come right out and right from the get-go?
It's the NFL.
The commissioner is coming out and stating...
Have they ever done anything right?
It's just I hate to say it, but you're absolutely right.
Good for them for wanting to take a stand and support their players. Just wait. I mean, just wait. Just be like, hey, we have no comment until we have all the facts. And then once you get all the facts, if it turns out that what Michael Bennett is saying is absolutely true and he did nothing wrong and he was targeted because he's African American, then yeah, come out full force, stand behind Michael Bennett, stand behind your players, and hold these officers accountable.
Right.
But if it turns out that he, you know, according to this article on TMZ, that he should have stopped and he didn't, now you just look like you're, you know, again, shooting from the hip, no pun intended by any stretch of the imagination. Poor choice of words, but it's true. That's what the NFL has always done. I mean, it's been knee-jerk reactions and shooting from the hip from the get-go with Goodell, and it's just it looks like this is just another example of that.
Here's the audio of Martellus Bennett, his brother, talking about to reporters for the first time what he was like when he watched his brother go through this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it gets emotional when you think about it, like overall, but yeah, like sometimes like a hug is the best thing you could give, and it's just, I mean. I don't really know, really, you know what I'm saying? I don't really have the answers, so. You just think, what if, you know? 2 seconds this way, 2 seconds that way, the whole thing is different, so. So for me, it's just, I'm just be happy to see my brother, because there's a chance that I couldn't see him.
You could hear the emotion in his voice when he was crying. And you realize, look, at the end of the day.
Scary.
He's right. You know, when a guy's, especially if it's gone down anywhere like one of the depictions we're hearing about, if he just decided to dart and run and those cops are on heightened alert and their guns are already drawn, and someone just quickly darts out in front of you, you know, we've seen this. The reactions are just crazy. So they're very, you know, thankfully he didn't get hurt. Thankfully, Martellus Bennett obviously didn't have anything happen to his brother. You can feel the emotion there of those two guys that are so close. So
that would, I mean, if that was my brother, I would be the same way. Because you don't know what's going on. All you can go
by. Honestly, even if you're not that close with your brother, that it could possibly make you that emotional.
If it was my sister, I'd be okay.
Even if you don't have the best relationship with your family, if you see that could
That's you know, regardless of the circumstances surrounding it and finding out the truth, just watching that.
Yeah.
Given what's gone on in this country, that would make me nervous if I was an African American and that was my brother.
No doubt about it.
That would certainly bring me to that point. So yeah, I sympathize completely.
Pretty sad. I did say, Nick, though, if that was my sister, it might be all right.
But I did hear you say that.
Clarence and Barry, this might actually solve another mystery in the process, but Clarence wants to get in here on Michael Bennett.
Hey, it's our old buddy Clarence checking in.
Is it?
Thank good. Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness. Do we want to do it now? Do we have time?
Yeah, let's go. Clarence.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's Clarence, up, man?
We were shouting out for you last week. We needed you to check in to make sure you were okay.
Yeah, I heard. Oh. I was busy helping someone clean out the house.
Okay, that's a good excuse, but otherwise you heard and you still let us just hanging in the wind. Is that how we do it now?
When I heard, Barry wasn't there yesterday. So I'm like, okay, I'll call in the next day when everyone's there and everyone's together.
Far be it from the fact that we had the shout out and the call out for you like 3-4 days ago, but let's just wait till Barry's back. Yeah, okay.
Well, he knows who's important around here.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the whole game went together when I called.
There you go. Well, we're glad you're safe, Clarence. How'd you make out? Did your house get any water?
Oh no, I was good.
Very good.
I was good.
Glad to hear it. You're calling about the Michael Bennett thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys, but I'll form an opinion about it until you get all the facts. And it sounds like, I don't want to say what did happen and what didn't happen. It's more like a 50-50 thing, if you ask me. Yeah, the cops could have said what they said, but if cops are walking into an establishment, any establishment, and asking everyone to get down, no one moves, everybody just stay there, and you just automatically see not just a black guy, but any guy randomly take off and run, what do you think is going to happen in that situation? What do you think they're going to ask you to do? He is lucky that they didn't even pull a trigger.
Well, that's what
because he was running.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, look, when they're in a heightened state of emergency like that, you can't. It's very hard to depict how anybody's going to react. But quick movements, quick sudden movements, you're going to react. And that makes it that much more dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough deal.
I mean, and I know
for all the facts to come out.
And I know everyone wants to scream police brutality, especially with everything that's going on. And me being a black male, you need to be aware of the situation at all times. If an officer asks you to do something, just please respond in an orderly fashion. If they ask you to get down on your knees, get down on your knees, keep your hands up. Just follow all instructions to make sure that you're in the right, and if anything's going wrong, you're not provoking an officer to do anything. And yeah. If that officer decides to abuse his power, and with all the body cams and the dash cams that's on now, it will be shown. I don't want to. You don't just want people to just go out and scream police brutality, the cops did me wrong, did this, did that. If you follow the cops' order and don't provoke them to take a physical action, then everything will be all right. I don't want people to always be on the wrong side of a police officer, whether it's black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, alien, whatever.
I hear you, Clarence, and you make a good point because, I mean, look, the good thing is...
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
If you're alive, you can sort it out after the fact. But if you react the wrong way, you might not have that opportunity.
I'm kind of with Barry. I tend to agree with him, wait for the facts to come out. But I will say this just to add perspective, and it may sound like I'm defending the police here. But 3 years ago, Mayweather-Maidana fight occurred, and they were doing construction in the MGM Grand, and like a wall fell and it sounded like a bang bang bang, like, and everybody thought it was shots fired. So police over there are kind of already on the defense, because when that happened, it was literally a fan stampede. 50 people got injured. I remember speaking to Kevin Ioli about of Yahoo Sports about it. He had to like find a place where he can take his wife and literally jump a counter, because at the MGM Grand, for those who don't know, there's only one way into the building and one way out. So it was just a stampede of just humans walking and running all over everybody, and they don't want that. So that's just to add a little perspective. I'm not saying the things that happened to Bennett did or did not. I'm just saying police are kind of they're kind of antsy in situations like that.
Well, and then there's this text which says, you're missing the point entirely. Cops are supposed to be trained professionals. Even though someone darts out in front of them, they're supposed to react professionally and not like scared little bitches. I think that's a lot easier to say than to actually.
It's super easy to send that.
But when you're in a position where you think there's an active shooter, you have no idea what that's like. I'm assuming. Maybe you're a cop.
This isn't a video game or a training exercise. When your life is on the line, you have no idea how you're going to react until you're in that situation. And we've seen that. So that's just a tough call all the way around. And I'm with you as well. We need all the facts to come out. And hopefully we will get that kind of clarity, because obviously, otherwise, this situation is just going to continue to keep building. So, Colin Kaepernick not only involved in that with the tweet that I mentioned, but also, if you believe certain people, quote unquote, within the organization, a certain organization was looking at bringing him in and probably signing him, and then something went terribly wrong with someone that he's very close to. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, hour number two of the three-hour show, as we continue to roll on and cover stories and such, like the Michael Bennett situation that we were talking about before the break. Barry, you had some text messages.
Yeah, real quick, a couple of people, because we were talking Beaumont, somebody said just got power back in Orange on Tuesday. It's great to hear y'all's voices. Prayers are really needed in Orange County, Jasper County, and parts of Hardin County near Beaumont. Some still have homes with 6 feet of water in them. Mm. And there are over 15,000 people homeless in those small counties alone. God, man, just terrible. And we're over here. I mean, you know, the waters are going down and you feel like everything is back to normal, but we live in this bubble. You know what I mean? Like, you think everything is okay, but it's not.
That's what I think about almost every day driving to work, because I look at, you know, everybody's talking about the traffic, and it's really, when all things considered, Joel, even coming from, I don't know about you, Barry, but coming from where, it's really not that bad. Even the extra 20 or 30 minutes that I had to deal with traffic, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, as opposed to when somebody just
6 feet of water,
tweeted having to go
homeless,
to work in a boat.
Losing your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you just...
When you think about the fact that, like, intern Drew was talking to us before the show, Kingwood Boulevard, Kingwood Drive, the main drive to Kingwood, was not a river. It was more like a lake. Like, he said, he doesn't think there's a single house in Kingwood that wasn't affected. That means they're still dealing with this. It doesn't just go away because the sun is shining and because the highways are open again.
Man.
There's a lot of people dealing with a lot of stuff, and they're going to be dealing with it for a long, long time.
Yeah, the one thing that I do, you know, worry about is that you're hearing so much about helping Houston. Like that, like the text just said, there's 15,000 people in those counties that are homeless right now. You hope that these folks are getting... Now, I will say this, on my drive down to the valley, there were tons of, like, utility trucks, and I saw officers from other counties from the state, and so there was plenty of folks down there helping. I just hope that's the case heading east as well, towards Beaumont and Louisiana.
I've said it several times throughout the last couple of shows, but let's not just focus on Houston. We know the Golden Triangle was hit hard. We know Port Arthur. We know Beaumont. We know on the other side, we know Corpus and all the different, you know, Dickinson, everybody was affected by this storm. It's a blessing and a curse that everybody knows that the fourth largest city in America was hit, but they're so focused on Houston that you can't lose sight of the smaller communities surrounding Houston that still are desperate for any kind of help they can get.
Yeah.
That's extremely important to keep in your mind.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get us off topic.
No problem. Hey, real quick, I want to just replay the audio, because I know we got some complaints on Twitter about not being able to hear the Bennett audio, so I got it re-recorded, just to play it for those who did not hear.
Okay. This is Martellus Bennett reacting to what happened when he saw the video of his brother Michael Ben?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it gets emotional when you think about it, like, overall, but yeah, like, sometimes, like, a hug is the best thing you could give, and it's just, I mean, I don't really know, really, you know what I'm saying? I don't really have the answers, so you just think, what if, you know? 2 seconds this way, 2 seconds that way, the whole thing is different, so for me, it's just, I'm just be happy to see my brother, because there's a chance that I couldn't see him.
Yeah, you can feel the emotion.
I get it, too.
No
I
doubt,
totally
man.
Get it.
No doubt.
I mean, that would be to see a family member just in that situation, given, you know, the things that have gone on.
And this is a guy
pretty scary. Regardless of what the truth is, it's pretty scary from the outside looking in.
Well, and from Martellus Bennett's standpoint, this is a guy that's likes to shoot the stuff and screw around and upbeat and everything like that. You can tell when he's that focused, that dialed in, and has that kind of reaction. I mean, that's your kin. That's your flesh and blood. That's someone he grew up with, and you could feel the emotion there, and not being there next to him and being able to help him at that time.
Yeah. Somebody said, your friendly neighborhood beer salesman said, much respect to y'all for taking up perspective on the other side of this incident. I can't imagine that it'll be popular. I mean, for me, it just comes down to the thing that I've always looked for when something like this happens. I just want the facts and the truth to formulate my opinion. I mean, I'm not going to speak for these guys. You don't want to rush to judgment in something like this. It's too important to do that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because we live in a society where it's just so hard to be transparent and just reveal the facts.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to transition into the Ezekiel Elliott thing, but to me, I mean, he either hit her or he didn't. Facts are facts.
Yeah.
To me, it should be a straightforward punishment, but no one's revealing the facts. So how am I able to sit here and give you a legitimate opinion if I don't even know if he actually hit a woman or not? And it's the same thing for the police and police brutality and everybody else that's going through what they call, you know, might call police brutality. So it's kind of a tricky situation.
And unfortunately, because of social media and so many people that have eyes and keyboards and screens on this topic, they're going to draw their own conclusions without having all the facts. And then you get into the innocent until proven guilty, or are you guilty until proven innocent? That's the other topic that comes up, because people are going to draw their conclusions rather quickly. And if one side or the other makes a very definitive sounding statement, a lot of people are going to buy into that.
Well, and that leads to this text. I'm sorry, but as a black man who has seen and been through way too much, I believe Bennett first. It's up to the police to prove their story.
I mean, I'm okay with that opinion. You know what I mean? I mean, you can believe Bennett, but I think it's up to the police, all the government agencies that are involved in it, the Las Vegas, the Metro Police, the hotel. You know, there's plenty of cameras in Vegas, dude.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with the statement as is. I think it's a little...
It does sound like guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah,
kinda.
It's careless to just go around and say that police harassed me. Now prove that you didn't. I mean, you start getting to the point where you're talking about, you know, if there's an issue and you have the proof, then bring that forward. You know what I mean? But just to say that you're going to blanket, that's part of the problem on the other side. Don't be that kind of person on your side as well when... We're all just supposed to believe that the cops don't do this, because that's what the argument you'll hear. They're police officers. They're honest. They're not. There are a lot of bad cops in this country.
No doubt about it.
People may not want to believe that, but there is. But don't be like them and just blindly believe what you want
to
believe.
Listen
just
to the audio of the cop in Georgia if you want to talk about bad cops.
Yeah, wait for the facts.
But here's
both
the other
sides
thing.
Should.
Don't also tell us that we're missing the point, because the bigger point is exactly what we're saying. Before you draw a conclusion, wait to make that point after you get all the facts. When the facts are out there, then draw your conclusions. That's what the bigger point is. No one's missing any point, because we understand what's going on out there. All right, Daniel, Kevin, don't go anywhere. We see you on the board. We're going to get you on the show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more, and we can continue talking about this and other things. ESPN 97.5.
On hold.
ESPN. 97.5.
My name is Bob, and I approve this message.
I got
got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, just crossing the midway point of the three-hour extravaganza as we continue to press onward. I guess before we go any further on anything else and before we change topics, yeah, Daniel's been waiting patiently, wants to talk about Michael Bennett. Daniel, what's up?
Hey, you guys. Great show. I can listen when I can. But I just have to, disagree with you guys in comparing what happened to Bennett and what Colin is protesting. Colin is protesting the wrongful death. That's final. It can't get no final than that. This guy was just detained. And you guys also brought up the fact that all these body cams and stuff like that, they have body cams now, and they still getting it wrong with all these wrongful deaths. And they're going to trial, and nothing is happening to these guys. He's protesting the death of all the black Americans in the USA today.
But, Daniel, let me stop for 1 second. Just to clarify, okay. we didn't make the comparison. We just mentioned that Colin Kaepernick tweeted in support of Michael Bennett. It had nothing to do with standing for the anthem or not of the protest, or even Michael Bennett and what he in his ways of what he does with the anthem. This was all about what happened to Michael Bennett and the fact that right after that, Colin Kaepernick tweeted on the issue. Other than that, there was no comparison made.
And by the way, Daniel, for a couple things. One, don't group all of us in together. If anybody had said anything about Kaepernick, it was probably me. So it wasn't Joel or it wasn't Nick. So I think it's unfair to just say that this show has one voice. We have three separate voices.
And it's a fair
point. And if anybody said anything, Daniel, it would have been me. And just for the record, I think if you look back at what Kaepernick said when he's talked about protesting, he wasn't just protesting the deaths of African Americans. He was protesting the oppression of black people and people of color in this country. Not just the deaths, but that's part of it. But he was also talking about the oppression of black people. So, I mean, that's the platform for which he went out and protested on.
Okay. I just wanted to bring that point up.
Cool, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
thanks
for
the call.
Sure. Appreciate
and it's
the
actually
call, man.
Not
thanks
a bad
listening.
Point. We shouldn't compare it to
no,
the Colin
it's
Kaepernick
completely
thing.
Different.
Nope.
So it's a good call, Daniel. We just want you to know that we didn't necessarily make that comparison
right,
directly.
Right. Just to clarify it.
Well, I mean, to a certain degree, I did and I am. Because, again, Colin Kaepernick wasn't just protesting the deaths. He's protesting the injustices committed by cops, by police officers against African Americans and people of color. He's protesting the oppression of black people. These are his words, a quote.
Yep.
So, yeah, in this degree, taking someone, if the facts come out and shows that Bennett did nothing wrong and was treated this way unfairly, this is exactly what Colin Kaepernick is protesting. This kind of behavior and this kind of treatment, again, listen closely before you text, call, or email or whatever what I'm saying. If the facts come out and show he did nothing wrong, this is exactly why Colin Kaepernick is protesting.
And again, to his point, we're not saying that there isn't this kind of corruption going on where there's body cam footage that's destroyed or we don't see. But we're saying in this case, let's get the facts out there. Let's get as much of the evidence that we can get together before we and get it all accumulated so that we can make a rational decision on where we're at on it. But to hear one side or the other and then immediately rush to conclusion, I don't think that does anybody any good. I think that stirs up more controversy than solving anything. Because you want the facts. You want to know. You want to see the video. You want to know what did really happen, not one side of it or the other. That's how you can draw and formulate your conclusions best. So there's that. I would love to go on to the next story.
Let's
but
do it.
We've got a couple to choose from.
Well, isn't there one that's kind of related?
I was going to say.
The Ravens
the one
story?
That we, yeah, so the other story that involves Colin Kaepernick, with everybody, again, with all the rumors swirling and all the people talking, including getting to the commissioner and trying to get him to get his opinion, which he wouldn't give, on whether Kaepernick should be on a roster or not. And a lot, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, the latest to both say he should be on a roster. There's this that came out yesterday from Ray Lewis, who said that the Ravens were in a position where they were going to bring Kaepernick in, and they were probably going to sign him. However, right about the time that they were going to get the plane ready to bring him in, when Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend tweeted a split-screen picture out, I don't know if you guys remembered this or not, but it was a picture of Steve Biscotti, the owner of the Ravens, and Ray Lewis hugging, and on the other split-screen side, it was the two guys hugging in Django and chains, and that really did alter the Ravens' way of thinking about whether they were going to bring Kaepernick or not. And this is what Ray Lewis had to say in his own words.
I can disagree with how he did it. That should be perfectly fine. But then his girl goes out and puts out this racist gesture and doesn't know.
To be clear, whose girl, whose lady?
Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
That she doesn't know. We're in the back office about to try to get this guy to sign. Steve Bisciotti said himself, how can you crucify Ray Lewis when Ray Lewis is the one calling for Colin Kaepernick?
So there's another wrinkle to the entire story of what's going on with Colin Kaepernick and everything going back and forth about why and if, you know, he's going to be on an NFL roster. But it also shows you the power of Ray Lewis. I mean, Ray Lewis, who everybody thinks is just on TV, obviously has quite a bit to do with what the Ravens are doing right now, too. And again, we talk about what social media can do positively and negatively, but I don't think that Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend,
oh, Nessa,
thought that had anything, it was going to ever weigh into whether her boyfriend got another job or not.
What have you done, Nessa? You screwed it all up, getting out there.
You want to say? Right. You want to tell people that was her name?
Yeah,
Nessa.
Nessa, settle down, Miss Grimes, number two. Getting your man in trouble.
Oh wow!
What?
You went with the Grimes comparison?
Yeah,
Miko Grimes comparison.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, you know what? He don't need your help. Chill with it. Like, don't, dude. I'm telling you right now. If my wife was out there doing stuff like that in the public and speaking on my behalf or representing me, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, that's the one understand. That's one of the strongest understandings Lisa and I have is, just like you said about with the show, we all are strong personalities and have our own opinions.
Yeah.
And we're all capable of expressing them.
Yeah. I don't need you guys to speak for me. You don't need me to speak for you. And I don't need my wife to speak for me or vice versa. And, man, I would be so
pissed.
If you
watch Hard Knocks, Brent Grimes doesn't feel the way we do.
That dude is so passive when it comes to Miko. He's just sitting there like, yeah, yeah.
She's it's like, cussing man, like a sailor, and he's just kicked back. But then when she
must have the best Virginia on the planet is all I'm going to say. But it just must – her nickname must be Sunshine.
But then when she goes into the whole, but you don't know Brent. Brent's just like me. He just doesn't do that. Come on.
Look, if Brent
I'm watching
was like
a guy
you,
sitting on the couch
if
just
Brent
going,
was like you, you wouldn't be talking for him. I'm not falling for that.
No. All right, so that's a little bit of the news of yesterday and today. We'll have more coming up. But next, Sigmund Bloom, the fantasy football expert, will join us previewing week one in the NFL. It starts tonight, by the way. So if you've got questions or comments or want to have roster questions answered by Sigmund Bloom, he's coming up next.
I'm telling you, this is the man. We've had this dude on game day for 4 years. If you have questions about your roster for the weekend or tonight, you better get on the phone now, 713-780-3776, because you want to get this guy's opinion before you fill out that roster. Trust me on this.
Text, tweet, or call, but Sigmund Bloom is next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, boys are back. Almost two in the books, one to go, but plenty more of the big show. And as a staple now of the usual suspects for the football season, you know how we like to cater to your needs, and we know that all of you like to play fantasy football. That's why every Thursday throughout the season, we will have Sigmund Bloom join us at 2:30 on Thursdays. So just to kind of put in your calendar and your memory banks going forward, 2:30 Thursdays is going to be when we talk fantasy football. Without further ado, welcome to the show, one Sigmund Bloom. Barry, obviously a huge fan with lots of experience. I am a newbie to you, but welcome to the show. Look forward to working with you this year.
Oh, I look forward to it too. And, you know, certainly we never have a shortage of things to talk about when it comes to football, fantasy football. And it's exciting to kick off another season.
Yeah. Now, Sigmund, for those of you, for folks that aren't aware, tell them a little bit about what footballguys.com is and what you guys do. And then I wanted to get it out there. You can answer questions on daily as well, right? So if we have daily fantasy players, you guys do that as well. But this can also be, you know, normal, traditional fantasy football questions.
Absolutely. We at Football Guys, there's over 60 of us who come from all walks of life. We're all sick about football or fantasy football in some way, shape, or form. We cover every kind of fantasy football as you can imagine. And you know, we just enjoy that roller coaster ride and sharing every angle that we possibly can. We have apps. You know, we just came out with a trade and waiver wire dominator and a lineup dominator. These are apps that basically allow you to look us to look over your shoulder when you're making these decisions every week. And you know, we just really enjoy this, and it's like a puzzle, like a Rubik's Cube that we can just keep playing with and never quite solve.
I tell you what, if those apps are as good as the Draft Dominator app, I'm totally in, because, you know, for me, this is my third year using y'all's Draft Dominator app. I love that thing. If you guys didn't get it, if you've already drafted, it's too late, but next year do it. But if you haven't, go get that, because you can completely customize it to your league and the scoring and the number of players and the pool and everything, and it gives you a customized list. So if it's like that for the other stuff, dude, I'm in. I'm definitely in.
Yeah, it's the same developer, so I think you'll have a lot of the same graphical snazziness and features and ease of use and harnessing all the brain power we have. Absolutely.
So we've got a lot of calls lined up. Before we do it, let me get you to touch on two very hot topics leading into week one, and that is the crowded backfields of a couple of teams. Mm-hmm. One, the New England Patriots, because everybody is kind of on this Rex Burkhead train, even though that they have Mike Gillisley and others. Where are we in New England with touches, and who is the best bet there in the backfield in New England?
Well, really, this is going to be a week-to-week kind of thing. And I would say that Rex Burkhead is the best play. All four should see touches tonight. And one thing that we like about, and I know people are without, you know, Jay Ajayi this week, without Jaquizz Rodgers, so you might be scrambling for someone. I would err on the side of playing a New England back, because Bill Belichick's going to try to isolate mismatches. I think that Derek Johnson coming back off of the Achilles tear means running backs out of the backfield as receivers, James White, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead are all qualifiers there. These are all good players. And I think that they're going to have a successful night on offense to give Mike Gillisley a chance to finish a drive. Maybe Rex Burkhead, he's the other bigger back. So I do think it's Burkhead tonight if you had to pick one, mm-hmm. because Mike Gillisley has been nursing a hamstring issue through the offseason and preseason after the third preseason game, which Gillisley was the third running back in the game. Mike Belichick said that he has a little ways to go. So I think that Burkhead might be the most trusted player. And Burkhead looked the best in the preseason.
All right, we got a ton of folks on call and text lines and Twitter, so let's get going. Zach, you're up first. What's up, Zach? What's your question?
Oh, not much, man. How's it going?
Good. What's your question?
Yes, sir. I'm looking for a running back, too. I got Thomas Rawls, Derek Henry, or Duke Johnson. Who should I go with?
I'm sorry. Was Thomas Rawls, what were the other choices?
Derek Henry or Duke Johnson.
Or Duke Johnson. I'm going with Derek Henry here, sorry. Derrick Henry is facing Oakland. Oakland's got a lot of problems with their defense. Tennessee running game is well established. Henry should have a much bigger role than he had last year. I think this is a great week to get Henry in.
Kyle, you're next. What's up, Kyle?
What's going on? I have a flex question. PPR, Tyrell Williams, Dante Moncrief, or Rex Burkhead?
Yeah, now I'm going to go with Burkhead here, because Tyrell Williams is facing the tough Denver secondary. Dante Moncrief has Scott Tolzien as his quarterback. I'd like Burkhead's chances of getting a touchdown here and being the, getting the most touches of any New England back tonight.
Blake Adams on Twitter wants to know, Blount, James White, or Theo Riddick? You need to pick one for a second running back.
I actually like LeGarrette Blount this week because Washington doesn't have a nose tackle. They lost their strong safety. I think Philadelphia is going to try to establish the run and get Blount going and keep Kirk Cousins on the sideline. So I would go with Blount here.
Nestor Carmona on Twitter wants to know, is Josh Gordon worth adding?
It depends on your league. If you have 20 roster spots, or if it's a deep league like 16 teams where the waiver wire is pretty thin and it's not that exciting week to week, then it's worth seeing what happens. He's in rehab. He's going to try to reapply for reinstatement late this month. And if he gets back in, you know, we know what Josh Gordon can do. He's still only 26 years old.
Excellent. Nick, you're up.
Yes, sir. I'm in a PPR league, and I ended up with Terrell Pryor and Jamison Crowder. I was wondering if you would be using both of them in the same week. I know that's kind of frowned upon, but I was just wondering if you think it would pay off.
I would say that this week I might not do that just because Philadelphia is a somewhat tough draw defensively, and they got Ronald Darby. I would go with Jamison Crowder, pending one thing. Crowder just showed up on the injury report today with a hip issue, so we want to see how he practices tomorrow. But when we have Washington facing the Dallas secondary, we have Washington facing weaker secondaries, I think we'll want to go with both of those players. But this week, I would probably stick with Crowder. Also, Pryor hasn't had great chemistry with Kirk Cousins yet in the preseason.
All right, I got one here from Zach who wants to know, Danny Woodhead or Rex Burkhead?
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Burkhead again because Woodhead has been nursing a hamstring issue. It looks like he's good to go, but we also have Baltimore. Their offense hasn't really played together yet in the preseason, so it could be a little bit choppy in the first game out against Cincinnati.
Got a ton on the text line. Kareem Hunt, Frank Gore, Ty Montgomery, Mark Ingram, needs three of them, non-PPR league.
I'm staying away from Gore. Without Andrew Luck, I think Indy's offense is going to be in trouble. So it's Hunt, Ty Montgomery, and Mark Ingram.
Somebody wants to know, what week will Christian McCaffrey be worthy of a roster spot?
Well, I think a starting spot right away. I think that Christian McCaffrey is going to be what we hoped Reggie Bush would be, and Reggie Bush was here and there in his career, but never really hit that cruising altitude. I think McCaffrey's going to be the centerpiece of the offense, and I would think you can get him in your lineup right away.
Sean, you're up. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up? Real quick, two-parter. Are we going to start Roethlisberger or Mariota? And secondly, Leonard Fournette, how do you forecast this season with Jacksonville most likely always playing from behind?
And you hope that the defense can keep games closer, but Blake Bortles isn't going to give defenses much to worry about in the passing game. So I think Fournette's going to underperform. I would go with Roethlisberger over Mario today just because this week they're playing Cleveland, Myles Garrett, this great rookie defensive end, number one overall pick, has already hurt his ankle. He's not going to be in there. So it's going to be really tough for them to make Roethlisberger uncomfortable. He should do whatever he wants on Sunday.
Text line wants to know, Paul Perkins or Danny Amendola at flex in a half-point PPR league?
I'll go with Perkins. I'm interested to see what Amendola does in place of Edelman, but yeah. Perkins should have a chance. You know, Dallas's defense has a lot of players suspended right now, a lot of new players breaking in. I think the Giants are going to have a good night on Sunday night, and Perkins has looked fantastic in the preseason.
Austin, you're up. What's up, Austin?
Hey, man, I got a quick flex question. At my flex, Sammy Watkins, Ted Ginn Jr., or Amir Abdullah?
I really like Watkins this week. Vontae Davis, the number one corner for the Colts, is out. We know Watkins is a tremendous player as long as he's healthy. He is healthy right now, and I'm going to use him while I can.
Excellent.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Last one, and it's from NASCAR Johnny on the text line. Lynch, CJ Anderson, or Ty Montgomery, I need to sit one, and it's a PPR league. What does he do? Who does he sit?
I'd sit C.J. Anderson, just because Jamaal Charles is healthy. I think you may see them get almost an equal number of touches. There's no way I'm benching Marshawn Lynch right now, and I think the game between Seattle and Green Bay is going to be very high scoring, so you want to break ties in favor of players in that game. So I'd put Anderson on the bench.
And on that note, before we let you go, one quick question on Seattle, another one with a loaded backfield. That was the other question that I had. Is it Lacy? Is it Procise? What are they doing?
I really can't say. Lacy's the healthiest of the three, but they're all practicing in full. You know, perhaps they might use a Lacy a little bit more this week, coming back to Green Bay, try to harness some of that. But week to week, that one's going to be very tough to predict when they're all healthy. But based on the past, they probably all won't be healthy for long.
I love that you just went, ugh. I think that spoke volumes about the whole situation out there. Hey, if you guys have questions for Sigmund, you can hit him up on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. Also, we have him on Sundays as well. So if you don't get your question on Thursday, you can tune in to Houston Game Days on Sundays, and he'll be able to answer your questions about 11:30 there as well. Sigmund, man, we appreciate it as always.
Thanks. Look forward to it.
All right, bud.
That's good stuff, man. And he does rapid fire.
He does.
That's awesome. All right, we got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. Appreciate you hanging in with us and participating on a wild and crazy Thursday. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776 or hit us on Twitter. Back with the final hour, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.